Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Hello and welcome to the Everything is Black and White podcast. It's time for an additional episode this week and a very special one indeed. Our chief sports writer Lee Ryder caught up with BBC commentator Guy Mowbray, who's going to be on comms duty for Newcastle's trip to Manchester City in the FA Cup quarter final. Lee had the pleasure of sitting down for 20 minutes with Guy. So this is what the man had to say about Newcastle's trip to the Etihad.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just looking towards Saturday. I mean, this must be a big game if Gladiators has been postponed.
Yeah, but there's no escaping me, is there? It's still on at the same time slot. Yeah, well, it is a big game, isn't it? FA Cup quarter final. It's going to be great. I'm really looking forward to it, and it's not the foregone conclusion that a lot of people on the outside think it will be. I mean, you know that. I know that. It could be very, very close. It could be a belter, actually.
Yeah. I mean, obviously, I was talking to you at the last round against Blackburn. Mm. I mean, we went through every single emotion in that game. And by the end of it, I think Eddie Howe said in his press conference that, you know, he feels like he needs a drink after that. Mm. But this game, it could, as you say, go all the way to the end again.
Yeah, that Blackburn tie, it's one of, if not my favourite game that I've been to this season. I thought it had everything. I mean, Blackburn played, as you've seen with results before and since, they played so far above themselves, gave it a real game. And it just shows you, doesn't it? It's getting less frequent now, but it just shows that this competition still does throw up. Every round there's something. Every round there's something, and you don't know where it's going to come. That was terrific. This has every chance. So Newcastle have already put them out of one cup this season. Look at the game in the Premier League at St James's that City only won very late on, and that was thanks to Kevin De Bruyne coming on, and by all reports, he probably won't play this weekend. So that's a big bonus for Newcastle. And I think back to last season as well, the start of last season, the 3-3 draw at St James's. So if any team can give Manchester City a problem in a one-off, I think Crystal Palace do every time they play them. And Brentford do nearly every time they play them, and Newcastle certainly do, and that's been the case for quite a few years. I know Newcastle have got a rotten record against City, particularly away in Manchester, but not in the cups, and just occasionally not in the one-offs.
Yeah, and you know, you mentioned that sort of the magic of the cup line. I mean, obviously you did the Maidstone game at Ipswich as well, but this game, it's almost like Newcastle are the underdog. There's no escape in that, I don't think.
Yeah, which is a different scenario, isn't it? From, well, maybe, I mean, the Fulham game, I suppose, was a 50-50 clash, but in the other two rounds, certainly not. Sunderland didn't lay glove on them. Blackburn certainly did. It's a little bit of a game changer. There genuinely is, it's in a horrible cliche. I don't like it really, but from the outside, to those of us on the outside, there's nothing to lose for Newcastle. I guess on the inside, of course there is, because once again, it's the last chance of getting something. European qualification via the league looks a long way off. It's not impossible, but it looks a long way off at the moment. So actually, there is quite a bit of pressure on it. It doesn't matter who you're drawn against. If you're going to do something in the competition, you're probably going to have to play this lot or Liverpool at some point. So, you never know.
Yeah, and I mean, Eddie Howe, he's referenced it, hasn't he? He keeps saying the cup, there's so much riding on it. And this season could be, it could either fizzle out for Newcastle or, you know, if they won the cup, which feels a million miles away at the minute, you know, it's parades in the city, it's statues of Eddie Howe, it could change dramatically.
It could, but think back to last season, you know, actually at a final. And it didn't happen. I know it was the lesser one of the two, without a doubt, but it didn't happen. This is only the quarter final, and you've got the champions of the Premier League, Europe, and the world away from home. So it couldn't be any harder than this, could it? So, it's important not to take too many steps ahead. But it's just good to hear, for the first time in a long time, a Newcastle manager acknowledging just how important any cup, but particularly this one, would be. It should have been the case forever, quite frankly. And I don't like the idea of any manager, regardless of league position, sort of not, it's more important we stay in the Premier League. I understand that commercially and all that. It's more important. So we're going to do this and we're going to do this. And actually this season, I keep all the stats on all the Premier League teams and a few other teams as well that are of interest to me. And, you know, I update them religiously every Sunday and Monday. And looking at the lineups this year, it tends to have been a stronger, right from the early days, the Premier League managers seem to have put out a bit of a stronger team, whether that be Man City, who actually Pep Guardiola always does. He actually does put importance on it. But they all seem to have done, to me, a little bit more than in maybe recent years. And I just love this. I've always loved this competition. I still think it's the best thing. And you're right to reference that Ipswich Maidstone game. That's another one of my So there you go. The last two rounds of the Cup have served up two of my favourite games of the season so far. And in the third round, I was at Arsenal-Liverpool, and that wasn't bad either. That had its fair bit of drama. So every round, we've had an absolute belter live on the telly. So hope that continues. I don't mind if it goes the whole distance. I know it's a late finish again, but I don't mind at all if it goes the whole distance, because that always means there's a bit of jeopardy and a lot of excitement.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you're here in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Totally. And the fact that it's, you know, a match of the day live, the whole country's watching in. And the FA Cup, it pulls everybody in, doesn't it? And I guess in every living room, you know, your voice is going to be booming around the room and everything's come to a standstill. We mentioned Gladiators getting postponed and things like that. And, you know, when it goes to extra time, the news gets delayed and stuff like that. Is this why the FA Cup is just so important and must be?
It is. I believe it is, and it will be, hopefully forever. Knockout football special. Whilst I do love the Champions League and the European competitions, the Europa League, the Conference League, I like what that brings. I like, to use a word, sort of the exotic nature. We don't see these teams that often, but actually, that's what makes it special. That's why I wouldn't really want a Super League, because it makes it special playing these teams sort of on a rare occasion. But that, to me, has been, and even more so next year with the Champions League, the new format of it. We have enough league football and a lot of games that just, they pay the rent, but there's no jeopardy. There's no ultimate sanction at the end of it. And a knockout competition. I love knockout football. I think it's great. And it's the great leveller as well. I love the fact that the draw is still, despite this pressure put on, we need them seeding. We need the little teams at home to the big teams. You know what? If that comes out, it comes out. A free draw is brilliant. The draw's excitement. Anybody can get anybody at any stage. So, you know, you can have Arsenal, Liverpool in the third round, which could have been the final. You've got it straight away. As soon as the big guns come in, you've got that to hit you. And I love the fact that there's... And then you get Ipswich Maidstone. And at first, TV companies think, oh, we won't have that. We needed Maidstone at home. Oh, no, it can still happen. And yeah. It still does happen. So I love... I've always loved it. And I grew up on it. You know, I grew up watching York City. And one of my abiding memories, well, one of my key football memories was when they played Arsenal in the fourth round. Fourth round in 1985. 1-0, Keith Houchin penalty late on. Drew Liverpool in the next round. I queued through the night with my mates, queuing around the corner from the ground, around the barracks from 2 in the morning. And then we drew Liverpool again in the fifth round the following year. Yeah, and so the FA Cup to us, it's kind of all we've got.
Yeah.
You know, you're never going to do anything now, especially now we're down in the non-league. It becomes especially important. And my dad was at pretty much every game, funnily enough, it goes back to Newcastle, of York City's best ever run in 1955 when they got to the semis.
Yeah.
And lost to Newcastle at Hillsborough. And he went to the final, actually, that year as well. He was a massive Jackie Milburn fan for obvious reasons. I was sort of brought up on these stories. He actually went the following year as well. He went to see Man City Birmingham in 56 when Bert Trautmann broke his neck. So my whole football schooling as a kid have been on these stories of these legendary figures. And it all comes back to this one competition. And we're still bitter in York about 1955 because I'm told by everybody that Arthur Bottom scored a perfectly good goal. It crossed the line and obviously no technology then, only Pathé newsreels. So... York should have been in the final against Man City. Newcastle, it wouldn't have been 1955.
Wow, yeah, history could be completely different then, I guess.
Yeah.
And yeah, I mean, that brings me on perfectly to the sort of next question. I mean, every time you come up to Newcastle, you know that this city, it's just crying out for that domestic piece of silverware, you know. It's gone on so long now and, you know, I was always confident in the 90s, we would win something eventually in my lifetime. But like I've questioned that a few times now. But now there seems to be a little bit of hope and Eddie Howe could be the guy that delivers that eventually.
I hope he is. I hope he is. Not necessarily for Newcastle United. You know, there's plenty of other teams that have just as much a legitimate claim to win the cup. But for him, because I'm still marvelling at a wonderful job that he's done. You know, we know the money's there, but they can't spend it for financial fair play reasons and all that sort of stuff. And he just keeps ploughing away and doing the job. And you hear stories on the outside, oh, he's got to win the cup this year because they haven't qualified for the Champions League. Well, that was 2 years minimum ahead of schedule doing that.
Yeah.
So I don't think that's necessarily true. I hope it's not, especially with a draw in the quarterfinals. But no, I'd like it to happen. And Newcastle are kind of, I suppose, they've become the torchbearers for the importance of the FA Cup because I would urge younger people who maybe, with the advent of the Premier League, haven't been brought up like we were on the cup final being the one live game that you saw a season.
Yeah.
And the third round draw huddling around your radio at school on a Monday lunchtime. Yeah, that was all excitement. That helps educate you in football and bring you up with the excitement of football. They don't have that these days. It's so readily accessible. Well, that brings another argument, doesn't it, with free-to-air and what have you. But
to so
many people, there's so much of it around and the Premier League and what have you, that maybe it's sort of, in some people's eyes, lessened in importance. But you look at Newcastle and clubs like it, and you know, look at Wolves, they're in the quarterfinals as well. You know, Brighton, who've never won the thing, but got there to the final. This is really important. Newcastle are a different case maybe because you never know in years to come, they might have a chance of winning the league and becoming champions, but Brighton's aren't, I don't think, you know, unless there's a Leicester happens again. So this is it. This is the one really big thing. And it's so important that it keeps being important to people. And when we show it live on the BBC and get massive audience figures, it shows, I think, that it is.
Yeah, no, definitely. And
it's only a kick. A jump, a block, it's only a serve, it's only a tackle, a run, it's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
obviously Man City, the stadium itself, that was where you'd done the famous commentary when Aguero scored. What's it like for you when you go to Man City? Is it just another day in the office, or is that always going to be with you when you go to the Etihad Stadium, that moment?
It's not with me all the time, no. Because, funnily enough, that's not an enormous career highlight. The game itself was.
Yeah.
The occasion.
Yeah.
I think my commentary could have been a bit better. It was just a lot of shouting and screaming. also, obviously, I'm doing it live. It makes no difference to me, but it was shown on highlights on Match of the Day later that night, and it was live on Sky. So I'm not associated with that commentary. People don't associate me with that particularly. So it's not what I would say a highlight. So it's not something I think about. And I'm there so often, just like I'm at St. James's so often, that I don't think about it. The games come so thick and fast. I'm doing about three, four commentaries a week that you don't really hang on to the memories. You look forward at what's coming next. I listen back to games and you sort of think, blimey, was I at that? And you can't sort of remember being there. I mean, I'll just have a look now. This is really geeky, but I'm a commentator, so I'm allowed to be. it was pointed out to me a while back how many games I'd done, and our match, the guy that wrote us the commentary is one of our editors, Andrew Clement. He keeps numbers on everything. And he told me about 3-4 years ago how many games I'd done. So I've kept a note ever since.
Yeah.
So this game on Saturday will be my 1,293rd commentary for BBC television.
Wow.
1,300 will come up next month with Liverpool v Crystal Palace, all being well, touch wood.
Uh-huh.
So there's a lot of games. And so you don't really... I sort of like, on to the next, and you sort of concentrate on the next. And you do forget about some, which is, again, we come back full circle to the FA Cup, because the ones I can remember and stick out this year are actually the last three rounds.
Yeah.
They're the games that have really stuck out in my memory of this season's highlights.
Yeah, yeah. And what about the sort of the research that you guys, I mean, you're talking there about the sort of geeky side of it. I've seen, like, you guys have reams and reams of notes. How much effort goes into that, and how important is it to get those little, those tiny little golden nuggets?
It's absolutely vital. It's the old Boy Scouts thing, isn't it? And, you know, fail to prepare, prepare to fail, and all that. And it's true. And it takes up 90% of my work time is prepping games. I'm already prepping. In fact, I've just done some prep this morning on Denmark they've just named their squad for the next internationals. I'll be covering them at the Euros. So I've just done a good couple of hours on their squad this morning. And you're constantly doing it. I liken it to the job of painting the fourth bridge. You know what? Once you've finished at one end, you've got to start at the other again. And it is nonstop. But it's not, woe is me. Oh, look at me. I'm working 7 days a week. Yeah, I am. It's what I do. It's not work.
Yeah.
I do it anyway, probably. It's not work. It doesn't feel like work. It's just what I do. It's just my life. And yeah, you're constantly prepping games. I've just got my rota for, up to the midpoint of April, and I've already got notes on every game that I'll be doing just to fill in along the way and keep updating. And it never ends, but you've got to have it. And the process of doing it puts it in your head so that hopefully on a match day, it's no more than a glance down. You like to have them there plastered around your monitors, but generally, if you've done the prep, you won't need to look at it too often.
Mm-hmm.
It'll just come. It's stuck. It's an exam. Every match is an exam, basically, and the prep is the revision for that exam.
Yeah, yeah. No, brilliant. And just a look at some of Newcastle's star players. I mean, Alexander Isak's had a great season. Anthony Gordon. I mean, is there anyone who stands out for you as Newcastle's sort of player of the season so far?
Player of the season is probably Gordon. I've been really impressed with him. I'll be totally honest, I'm not sure I was a massive fan when he was at Everton. And when there was all the talk of a big money move to Chelsea initially, I was thinking, I'd let him go. I don't get it.
Yeah.
But I think I wasn't factoring in the fact that he's a young lad. And it took him a while, second half of last season. I must admit, I thought, why have Newcastle signed him? What's he going to do? And then this season, he's gone on. Harvey Barnes' injury, I guess, helped him early doors as well, cement his place in the team. Big fan of Harvey Barnes, by the way. I think he will be a player. If he gets an injury-free run, he will be a player, and I admit to bias because one of my friends and heroes is his dad, who was a brilliant finisher for York. And I tell you what, if Harvey can finish as well as his dad, I'd pick him centre forward sometimes.
Yeah.
But no, I'm a big fan of Gordon. He'll make the Euros squad, I'm sure. Hopefully that knee injury isn't too bad, and he'll be all right. I think the last report was it wasn't as bad as we thought. So hopefully that's the case. So yeah, I think he's been the standout player, and I always enjoy watching Bruno play. You can't not. I would argue he's the better of the two Brunos in the Premier League, but that's a different argument. And actually, the other one, and I think every Newcastle fan will go along with me with this. My dad would have loved him as well. I mean, sadly, my dad passed away in 2005, but he would have loved Miguel Almiron. My dad would have adored him.
Yeah.
Just for the sheer infectiousness of how he plays football. He's not the greatest player in the world, but I wish I could do something that seems to bring as much happiness as he has every time he goes on the football field.
Yeah.
Well, I do, actually, but maybe I just don't show it as clearly as he does all the time.
Yeah. No, that smile is great. And I think I interviewed him last year, and the thing that he said to me was, for him off the pitch, you know, we hear about the goldfish ball at Newcastle and players going to town and having a drink and all that. But he said the big moments for him are taking his little boy to the park and having a coffee with his missus. And I think that just sums him up, you know. And the Newcastle fans, some of them have got a mixed view on how he plays. But as you say, if you could bottle up that enthusiasm, that would be great, wouldn't it?
I mean, I know he's not popular with Newcastle fans, but he's a really good bloke, Steve Bruce. And I remember whenever I asked Steve Bruce while he was manager about Almiron, he'd smile before he answered. So he clearly has that impact on everybody else around him as well. Another player I'm a massive fan of is Dan Byrne, and that is purely because I like to see people, and I don't mean this in a patronising way, but beat the odds. He doesn't look like a left back. He shouldn't be a left back, and I guess he isn't. He's a centre back, really. But you put him there, and people go on about, oh, he's no pace and he's easy to beat. Well, tell Eddie Howe that, and I don't think he'd agree with you. I just like to see people beat the odds and prove people wrong.
I mean, I guess this game for him is perfect, isn't it? Because he is kind of the underdog player, isn't he? He was at Blyth Spartans when he was a kid, and Darlington, and he's earned that chance to play in a big game like this, I suppose.
Definitely. And 3 years ago, he got the winning goal for Brighton against City in the Premier League down at Brighton. So, you know, you never know. He could do that again. I mean, don't get me wrong. I still think City will win, and if everything's right for them, they will.
Yeah,
but I don't think it's the foregone conclusion everybody's making out. Got to stop the big lad, mind you. Quite handy, that number nine.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, he's not bad at all, is he? I mean, yeah, just finally to sort of wrap up, I mean, prospective penalties, I mean, with everything that's happened in the Cup this season, you know, you couldn't rule it out, I guess, but Newcastle... Well, I've already got a little bit of experience with that.
Absolutely. They won the last one, which I believe is only the fourth shootout win ever in 15 attempts.
Yeah.
So that's going the right way. City have won one and lost one this season. Very early on. They lost to Arsenal in the Community Shield, but then they beat Sevilla in the Super Cup early doors. You never know, do you? That's a complete lottery. But I'll be very happy if it goes to penalties, because that means we've got a heck of an audience watching, and hopefully people are enjoying it. And I won't be too upset about Gladiators being missed for a week. It puts it back a week. It makes the final even more exciting when the Gladiators final comes around.